Chapter 12. It was 7 o'clock in the evening. Mushkin was getting ready to go into the park. All of a sudden, Lizaveta Prokofievna walked alone onto his veranda.
"To begin with, don't you dare to imagine," she began, "that I've come to beg your pardon. Nonsense. It was entirely your fault."
Mushkin did not speak.
"Was it your fault or not?"
"As much mine as yours. Though neither I nor you was intentionally to blame. I did think myself to blame the day before yesterday, but now I've come to the conclusion that it's not so."
"So that's what you say. Very well. Listen and sit down, for I don't intend to stand."
They both sat down.
"Secondly, not one word about mischievous urchins. I'll sit and talk to you for 10 minutes. I've come to make an inquiry, and you are fancying all sorts of things, I expect. And if you drop a single word about insolent urchins, I shall get up and go away and break with you completely."
"Very well," answered Mushkin.
"Allow me to ask you. Did you 2 months or 2½ ago, about Easter, send Aglaya a letter?"
"I did write to her."
"With what object? What was in the letter? Show me the letter."
Lizaveta Prokofievna's eyes glowed. She was almost quivering with impatience.
"I haven't got the letter."
Mushkin was surprised and horribly dismayed.
"If it still exists, Aglaya Ivanovna has it." "Don't wriggle out of it. What did you write about?"
"I'm not, and I'm not afraid of anything. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't write."
"Hold your tongue. You shall speak afterwards. What was in the letter? Why are you blushing?"
Mushkin thought a little. "I don't know what's in your mind, Lizaveta Prokofievna. I only see that you don't like the letter. You must admit that I might refuse to answer such a question. But to show you that I'm not uneasy about the letter, and don't regret having written it, and I'm not blushing in the least on account of it," Mushkin blushed at least twice as red, "I'll repeat that letter to you, for I believe I know it by heart." Saying this, Mushkin repeated the letter almost word for word as he had written it.
"What a string of nonsense! What can be the meaning of such twaddle, according to you?"
Lizaveta Prokofievna asked sharply, after listening to the letter with extraordinary attention.
"I can't quite tell myself.
I know that my feeling was sincere. At that time I had moments of intense life and extraordinary hopes."
"What hopes?"
"It's hard to explain. But not what you're thinking of now, perhaps. Hopes, well, in one word, hopes for the future, and joy that perhaps I was not a stranger. Not a foreigner there. I took suddenly a great liking to my own country. One sunny morning I took up a pen and wrote a letter to her. Why to her, I don't know. Sometimes one longs for a friend at one's side, you know. And I suppose I was longing for a friend,"
Mushkin added after a pause.
"Are you in love?"
"No. I wrote to her as to a sister. I signed myself her brother, indeed."
"On purpose, I understand."
"It's very unpleasant for me to answer these questions, Lizaveta Prokofievna."
"I know it's unpleasant, but it doesn't matter to me in the least whether it is unpleasant. Listen, tell me the truth, as you would before God. Are you telling me lies or not?"
"I'm not."
"Are you speaking the truth, saying that you are not in love?"
"I believe quite the truth."
"Upon my word, you believe. Did the urchin give it her?"
"I asked Nikolay Ardalionovitch—"
"The urchin! The urchin!"
Lizaveta Prokofievna interrupted vehemently.
"I know nothing about any Nikolay Ardalionovitch. The urchin!"
"Nikolay Ardalionovitch?"
"The urchin, I tell you!"
"No, not the urchin, but Nikolay Ardalionovitch," Mushkin answered at last, firmly, though rather softly.
"Oh, very well, my dear, very well. I shall keep that against you."
For a minute she overcame her emotion and was calm.
"And what's the meaning of the poor knight?"
"I don't know at all. I had nothing to do with it. Some joke?"
"Pleasant to hear it all at once. Only, could she have been interested in you? Why, she has called you a freak and an idiot."
"You need not have told me that," Mushkin observed reproachfully, though almost in a whisper.
"Don't be angry. She's a wilful, mad, spoilt girl. If she cares for anyone, she'll be sure to rail at him aloud and abuse him to his face. I was just such another. Only please don't be triumphant, my dear fellow. She's not yours. I won't believe that, and it never will be. I speak that you may take steps now. Listen. Swear you're not married to that woman.
Lizaveta Prokofievna, what are you saying?
Upon my word, Mushkin almost jumped up in amazement. But you were almost marrying her, weren't you?
I was almost marrying her,
Mushkin whispered, and he bowed his head.
Well, are you in love with her, then? Have you come here on her account, for her sake?
I've not come to get married, answered Mushkin.
Is there anything in the world you hold sacred?
Yes.
Swear that it was not to get married to her.
I'll swear by anything you like.
I believe you. Kiss me. At last I can breathe freely. But let me tell you, Aglaya doesn't love you. You must be warned of that, and she won't marry you while I'm alive. Do you hear?
I hear.
Mushkin blushed so much that he could not look at Lizaveta Prokofievna.
Make a note of it. I've been looking for you back as my providence. You're not worth it. I've been watering my pillow with my tears at night. Not on your account, my dear. Don't be uneasy. I have my own grief. A very different one. Everlasting and always the same. But this is why I've been looking for you back with such impatience. I still believe that God himself has sent you to me as a friend and brother. I have no one else except old Princess Bielokonski, and she's gone away. And besides, she's as stupid as a sheep in her old age. Now answer me simply yes or no. Do you know why she shouted from her carriage the day before yesterday?
On my word of honour, I had nothing to do with it and know nothing about it.
That's enough. I believe you. Now I have other ideas about that. But only yesterday morning I put the whole blame of it on Yevgeny Pavlovich. All the day before yesterday and yesterday morning. Now, of course, I can't help agreeing with them. It's perfectly obvious that he was being turned into ridicule like a fool on some account, for some reason, with some object. Anyway, it's suspicious, and it doesn't look well. But Aglaya won't marry him, I can tell you that. He may be a nice man, but that's how it's to be. I was hesitating before, but now I've made up my mind for certain. You can lay me in my coffin and bury me in the earth, and then you can marry your daughter. That's what I said straight out to Ivan Fyodorovich today. You see that I trust you. Do you see?
I see, and I understand.
Lizaveta Prokofievna looked penetratingly at Mushkin. Perhaps she keenly desired to find out what impression this news about Yevgeny Pavlovich made upon him.
Do you know nothing about Gavril Ivolgin?
You mean... I know a great deal.
Did you know, or didn't you, that he was in correspondence with Aglaya?
I didn't know at all, said Mushkin, surprised and even startled.
What? You say Gavril Ardalionovitch is in correspondence with Aglaya Ivanovna?
Impossible. Quite lately. His sister has been paving the way for him here all the winter. She's been working like a rat.
I don't believe it,
Mushkin repeated firmly, after some reflection and uneasiness.
If it had been so, I should certainly have known it. I dare say he'd have come of himself and made a tearful confession on your bosom. Oh, you're a simpleton, a simpleton. Everyone deceives you and aren't you ashamed to trust him? Surely you must see that he's cheating you all round.
I know very well he does deceive me sometimes,
Mushkin brought out reluctantly in a low voice.
And he knows that I know it.
And he broke off.
Knows it, and goes on trusting him. Well, that's the last straw. It's just what one would expect of you, though, and there's no need for me to be surprised at it. Good Lord, was there ever such a man to foo? And do you know that this Ganya, or this Varya, has put her into correspondence with Nastasia Philipovna?
Put whom?
Aglaya.
I don't believe it.
It's impossible. With what object?
He leapt up from his chair.
I don't believe it either, though there are proofs. She is a wilful girl, a whimsical girl, a mad girl. She's a wicked girl, wicked, wicked. I'm ready to repeat it for 1,000 years. She's a wicked girl. They're all like that now, even that wet hen Alexandra. But this one's out of all bounds. Yet I don't believe it either. Perhaps because I don't want to believe it,
she added, as though to herself.
Why haven't you been to see us?
She turned again suddenly to Mushkin.
Why haven't you been for the last 3 days?
She cried impatiently once more. Mushkin began telling her his reasons, but she interrupted him again.
They all look upon you as a fool and deceive you. You went to town yesterday. I'll bet you've been on your knees begging that scoundrel to take your money, your 10,000.
Not at all. I never thought of it, indeed. I haven't seen him. And besides, he's not a scoundrel. I've had a letter from him.
Show me the letter.
Mushkin took a note out of his portfolio and handed it to Lizaveta Prokofievna. The note ran,
"Dear sir, I have, of course, in other people's eyes not the faintest right to have any pride. In people's opinion, I'm too insignificant for that. But that's in other people's eyes and not in yours. I am quite persuaded, my dear sir, that you are perhaps better than other men. I don't agree with Dr. Renko and differ from him in this conviction. I shall never take a farthing from you, but you have helped my mother, and for that I am bound to be grateful to you, even though it be weakness. In any case, I look upon you differently, and think it only right to tell you so. And thereafter, I suppose there can be no more relations of any sort between us. Antip Badovsky. P.S. The missing 200 rubles will be repaid you correctly in course of time. What stuff and nonsense, Lizaveta Prokofievna commented, flinging back the note. It's not worth reading. What are you grinning at?
You must admit that you were glad to read it, too.
What? That pack of nonsense? Rotting with vanity? Why, don't you see they're all crazy with pride and vanity?
Yes, but yet he's owned himself wrong, and has broken with Dr. Renko, and the vainer he is, the more it must have cost his vanity. Oh, what a child you are, Lizaveta Prokofievna.
Do you want me to slap you at last?
No, not at all. But because you're glad of the note and conceal it. Why are you ashamed of your feelings? You're like that in everything.
Don't dare to come a step to see me, cried Lizaveta Prokofievna, jumping up and turning pale with anger. Never let me set eyes upon you again.
In another 3 days you'll come of your own accord and invite me. Come, aren't you ashamed? These are your best feelings. Why are you ashamed of them? You only torment yourself, you know.
I'll never invite you if I die for it. I'll forget your name. I have forgotten it.
She rushed away from Mushkin.
I've been forbidden to come already, apart from you,
Mushkin called after her.
What? Who's forbidden you?
She turned in a flash, as though pricked with a needle. Mushkin hesitated to answer. He felt he had made a serious slip.
Who has forbidden you?
Lizaveta Prokofievna cried violently.
Aglaya Ivanovna forbid... When? Do speak!
She sent word this morning that I must never dare come and see you again. Lizaveta Prokofievna stood as though petrified, but she was reflecting.
What did she send? Whom did she send? By the urchin? A verbal message?
She exclaimed suddenly again. I had a note, said Mushkin.
Where? Give it here, at once.
Mushkin thought a minute, yet he pulled out of his waistcoat pocket an untidy scrap of paper on which was written, Prince Lyov Nikolaevich. After all that's happened, you propose to astonish me by a visit to our villa. You won't, let me tell you, find me among those pleased to see you. Aglaya Ipanshin. Lizaveta Prokofievna reflected for a minute. Then she rushed at Mushkin, seized him by the hand, and drew him after her.
Come along! At once! It must be at once this minute! She cried, in an excess of extraordinary excitement and impatience. But you're exposing me to... To what? You innocent ninny! You're not like a man. Well, now I shall see it all for myself with my own eyes.
But you might let me take my hat anyway.
Here's your horrid hat. Come along. Can't even choose his clothes with taste. She wrote that. After what had happened.
In a fever, muttered Lizaveta Prokofievna, dragging Mushkin along and not for 1 minute releasing his hand.
I stood up for you just now. Said aloud you were a fool not to come. But for that, she wouldn't have written such a senseless note. An improper note. Improper for a well-bred, well-brought-up, clever gal. She went on. Or perhaps she was vexed herself at your not coming. Only she didn't consider that it wouldn't do to write like that to an idiot, because he'd take it literally, as he has done. Why are you listening?
She cried, flaring up, realizing that she had said too much.
She wants someone to laugh at like you. It's long since she's seen such a one. That's why she's asking you. And I'm glad, very glad that she'll make fun of you now. Very glad. It's just what you deserve. And she knows how to do it. Oh, she knows how.